I knew we could have, should have tried this one.
That's, I'm still not here. Tell you what, I'll pretend I like being at the pulpit today. I really don't, but we'll try. Just a couple of things I wanted to kind of react to. My wife is at a church conference of her church up in Willoughby today, so I was able to pick my own really bright shirt. And this is about as bright as it gets. Actually, wait till Pentecost. I have a red shirt for Pentecost, so... And it is good to see a whole lot of people I haven't seen before. And it's good that you all seem to have kind of brought all these strangers into your midst just like they were family. It is good to see you all here. The scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I spent some time at the earlier service this morning, and by the way, I made it. I stayed awake for the whole sermon. Both of those are minor miracles. I didn't know 7 o'clock existed except in the evening. It's just not my time of day. But Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, we think probably the mother of some of the other disciples, went out early in the morning at dawn to the tomb. And it's interesting, if you spend some time this week, it is kind of fascinating to see if you can get 4 Bibles, open each of the Gospels to a separate Gospel account of this morning, and see how differently everybody seemed to remember the events. They got a resurrection, they got an angel, they got a bunch of people, that's about all they got in common. John and Matthew are almost opposite at pretty much every step along the way. They say something contrary. I'm going to try and concentrate mostly on Matthew today. So if I say something that sounds out of whack, it's probably because it's in one of the other Gospels. And when you check them this week, as I know you're going to do, you'll find it. The instruction in Matthew that both the angel and Jesus give to the disciples is to go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Anybody know why he sent them to Galilee? Yes. Okay. Anybody else got one? Let me see if I can give you a hint. Do you recall what happened in the story where Jesus calls Matthew or calls Levi to be a disciple? Do you recall what they do right after that? See, all this question and answer is how I get around having to already have preached today. What they did, as soon as Jesus calls Levi to be a disciple, is Jesus says, come on, let's go to your place. It's time to eat. Jesus calls Peter and Andrew. And in the next scene in Matthew's or in Mark's gospel at least, as soon as he's called them, they end up at Peter's mother-in-law's house, waiting for a meal. He has to heal her so that she can get in the kitchen and cook. Jesus has a habit of calling disciples and then calling them to their house. I think the reason that Jesus brings the disciples or tells them to go back to Galilee is that's home. But he wanted them to go together, so he couldn't say, go to your homes, because that would have spread them out. He says, go to Galilee. I'll meet you there. Why is it important that the disciples of Jesus the Christ meet him at home? Oh, you're going to be a quiet crowd. Let me see what I think. You can agree or disagree. I think the reason we are called to go home is because our ministry is first and foremost at home. Our ministry is with people we know, is with situations we know, is with those opportunities to introduce people to Jesus Christ in a way that they need right then. And where do we better know that than at home? Now, certainly bringing the disciples back together in Galilee, it's a little bigger home than just the house that we sleep in and eat our meals in. It's the opportunity to go where we are known and where we know folks, where we're familiar with the problems that exist, where we know what is going on that Jesus can help people with. And I talked about the women a little more in the early service, but the one thing that comes out of the early service that I wanted to share with you in this one is that the opportunity we're given through this kind of an invitation to meet Jesus in our home is an opportunity to share him with each other, not only in our homes, but in our daily lives. And those things we do from morning, whenever that is for you. For me, I try to make it around 10. But sometime from then on until the end of the day, how we present both ourselves as Christians and present Jesus Christ to the people we meet. The opportunities that we see, they're right in front of us. Now, there are certainly opportunities for ministry that we have when we talk about the mission field, and there are certainly opportunities for ministry in South Asia and in Africa and South America and Central America and all those places, but there are also opportunities for ministry in Union City and Corey, and probably at least one or two in Beaver Dam. We encounter people every day that are in need of the love of Christ. And we encounter people every day that know they have that need and don't know how to go about getting it filled. We encounter people who are struggling against great odds. People who have been out of work. People who are suffering from some physical disability or physical disease or aftermath of an accident, we're encountering people who are addicted to any number of things. We're encountering people who have always counted on themselves and all of a sudden can't. These are the people we meet every day. We encounter people who are just having a bad day. I have found one of the times that I do not call my younger daughter is during lunch, Monday through Friday. She manages a customer service call center. It is not a good time to try and interrupt her. It's if she's having a bad day at lunchtime every day. I've learned that. I try not to call then. We talk at night after she's home. What can we do? What can we individually do to deal with the problems of people around us? To deal with those issues that they have that we may be aware of, kind of the byproduct. We can see the checkout clerk is having a bad day. We can tell. It's easy. I'm reminded of, because I like it so much, the show Dharma and Greg, and they're shopping one day in a grocery store, and the obviously really, really, really pregnant checkout lady is having a bad day, partly because her boyfriend has left her and she doesn't know where she's going to go. And so Dharma does what any good normal person would do and says, well, come to our place, you can have the baby at our apartment. That's what we'd have all done, right? I guess Greg wasn't there. He got surprised by that a little later. He had your reaction. How do we encounter people in their daily lives with their daily problems? I can remember times when I worked for big companies, and I could tell when my boss was having a bad day. A lot of the times it was because I'd created some kind of a difficulty for him. These things happen. Can you imagine me working in a big company back in the 60s? I was making trouble for him all the time just by being there. But he and I also got to be very good friends, and we supported each other in how we did our work. And we found ways to get past the shortcomings of, I will say, everybody else in the company, to accept what we were doing. We found ways to deal with the issues that other people had. It's possible to do that. It's possible, instead of harassing further the clerk at the checkout counter, to offer just a quiet assurance that things will get better. To take the time not to act so busy that you allow them to catch up with themselves a bit. It's possible to assist the person you walk by on the street who is having some kind of difficulty at the moment. It's possible for the friend, the family member you know who is struggling with an addiction, to give them some support that is helpful to them. It's possible to do those things. Every day, each one of us is confronted by those kinds of opportunities. Every day, each one of us has the opportunity to follow the instructions, if not literally the meaning of the instructions in this gospel. Go to Galilee. Go to your home area, and there you will meet me. We meet Jesus in all kinds of places and ways and opportunities in our life. Every day, he's there for us. He's there through others so that we can learn to serve. He's there encouraging us to introduce him. I'm terrible at names, so after all of the family members have been introduced to me afterwards, I'll promptly forget all your names. I can pretty well promise that. It's been a lifelong kind of way I work. My wife and I will go someplace together, and we'll run into somebody that we know, one of us knows. She has the same problem I do. And we're afraid to introduce us. That person and whoever they're with, because we don't remember their name. We remember the circumstance. We remember things about them. We can carry on a wonderful conversation with them for any length of time. But their name? Not really. I've decided that at least two of the Troyers here are just K. Troyer, and I'll guess a K every time and get it wrong half the time. It just
how it's going to be forever and ever. Matter of fact, since I think about it, I can get it wrong probably all the time. I have to persuade myself, no, you're thinking that, that's the wrong name. How do we introduce Jesus Christ, whose name we do remember, to other people? How do we bring to them, in the middle of the crisis they're in, the opportunity for a salvation, not only to that crisis, but to their whole life? And you might think, well, if they're in the middle of the crisis, they won't listen. Yes, they will. That's when they will listen. We all will listen when we've run out of every other option. That's when we can hear. That's when we can begin to catch that calm that comes to folks when they're in the presence of the Christ. Since it was a nice day yesterday, I went down to see my mother, and it's been a long time since she and I have had a conversation where she remembered me, I think. Now, she does remember just enough things to make me think she does. You know, like she did one of these a couple of times. 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times. But after about the second time, it dawned on me. She was doing it because she remembered me and that we did that before. This was not just a random thought. And my sister was with us, and my sister kept nudging me and saying, this is a good day. And because Mom's been having some issues. She gets apparently a bit nasty when people don't do what she wants them to. And they never do what she wants them to. And she was having one of those days, and a couple of the nurses who were there just kind of rolled their eyes when we said we were going to go visit for a while. And we had a wonderful visit, over an hour, with both of us having whole long sentences that related to each other. It was neat. It was the presence of the Christ, not because I was there per se, but it was something about the presence of that little group of our family being together that Jesus came into the middle of. And he gave her some peace. And he gave me some peace. And as we get to the rest of the family this week, we'll share that peace with them. We don't know when those opportunities come. We just know that they will. Jesus walks with us as a friend that we can introduce. He walks with us to help us in the times that we need help. There's a cartoon, and you all probably know that, the poem Footprints, where it talks about Jesus walking with us, and then there are points in time where there's only one set of tracks, and the poem goes on to say that those are the times that Jesus heals us. And in the cartoon, there's some stick figures that are repeating some of that. And then in the next picture are the same two stick figures, and the one is saying to the other, yes, and those long grooves are when he's dragging us by our shirt collar. It doesn't matter. Once we have invited Jesus into our lives, it doesn't matter what we do or say, we can't get him out. I've used this illustration in weddings a fair number of times. It turns out in many wedding parties, at least the weddings that I do, that the groomsmen are up for pranks. And the groomsmen have a tendency to not behave well at weddings. Some of them have a reputation of not behaving well before weddings. And so I use the groomsmen as an example, and talking to the bride and groom, said, have you ever had these guys over to your place Friday night and you're still trying to get rid of them on Sunday? You know, bad company comes, empties the refrigerator, and doesn't go home until it is empty. We've known those folks. We've had them at our house. We've maybe been the people at other houses. I can remember that from the old days. Jesus is kind of like that. When you bring him in, you can't get rid of him. You're stuck. But part of that being stuck is the fact that he will continue to go with you. He'll be in your home. He'll be at your work. He'll be with you in the crises in your lives. He'll be with you so that you can assist others in the crises in their lives. Jesus invites the disciples to go back home, to get to the place where they can be comfortable with his presence, where they can see him, where they can know him, where they can have fish and chips with him for breakfast. He invites us all to open our hearts, our minds, our very wills to his presence with us. He's going to be there anyway. But he invites us to be a part of his life as he is a part of ours, and to share in every way we can think of his love to those around us. Just as an exercise, after you've read the four gospel accounts, because I really want you to do that, but after you've done that, take at least a day this coming week, and every time you meet somebody that day, ask yourself, what's their problem? Sometimes you're going to know what their problem is. It's going to be really clear. Other times, you're going to have to think about it a while. Probably almost every encounter you have, you will, if you put your mind to it, you will begin or be able to see or know the problem that person has. Once you've figured out what it is, then you know how to introduce them to Jesus so the problem can be dealt with. Sometimes it'll be by something you do. Sometimes it'll be by a word of comfort. Sometimes it'll maybe just be a smile. Maybe a word of scripture. And depending on how well you know the person and whether they're going to accept a word of scripture, you may say where it's from, you may not. That's a part of knowing the problem. Being able to speak to, relate to the person in a way that they can use your help to get past it. All of those things are possible ways that we can deal with those in our lives who come into our homes, who are already in our homes, in our businesses, in the things that we do. We all have those encounters every day. We all have the opportunity every day to be a missionary, to present the good news of the gospel. We all have the opportunity, because Christ is risen, to introduce people to a living Christ, a living God, somebody that is pertinent to them right now. It's what we can do. And we can do it better than anybody, because we are part of that group of disciples that have gone back home to Galilee, to our Galilee, and have there met the Christ. It is indeed a wonderful day, and Jesus Christ the Lord is indeed risen. Hallelujah. Amen.